The Committee on Higher Education Workforce Development will now be in order, and today's date is Thursday, March 5th, 2015. And we have two bills, first of which Senate File 375, Child Care Higher Education Student Grant Eligibility Modification. Chief sponsor is Senator Hall. Senator, welcome to our committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members, this bill is simply about eligibility to receive a child care grant. Senate File 375 amends the eligibility of post-secondary students to receive a child care grant under the Child Care Grant Program administered by the Office of Higher Education under Minnesota Statute 136A.125. One of the requirements is to receive this grant is that you be a resident of the state of Minnesota. Resident is defined in the Minnesota Statute Section 136A.101, Subdivision 8. If you are an individual who does not meet any of the other tests to be considered as a resident under the Subdivision 8, then you must reside in the state of Minnesota at least a year without being enrolled for more than 5 credits in a semester at post-secondary institution to be a resident and eligible for this grant. So our problem is, even though one's spouse is a resident, if the spouse seeking the child care grant does not forgo college, regular college attendance for a year, then the grant, he is not eligible for that grant. I believe this is an unfair application of the law, which is designed to prevent people from claiming residency status, receiving benefits when the only reason they are in the state is to attend the college. In the instance of the spouse of a resident, which is what we're referring to, this spouse is moved here from to raise a family and to be a resident spouse. I agree with Section 8. It has many reasonable exceptions to the one-year rule, but I also believe that Senate File 375 is also a legitimate and reasonable exception. I have here with me a testifier, Mr. Howarth, who brought this to my attention, and also this rule change will not affect him because he's already had to deal with it and was not able to get child care grant. So if I could have permission to hear Mr. Howarth.
Yes. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Howarth, and if you would state your name for the record, please.
Yep. James Michael Howarth.
Please proceed. Thank you.
A few years ago, my wife and I ran into a dilemma. We'd done everything we were told to do. I had gone to college and worked my way through and was starting my career. And she had moved to Minnesota to get her registered nursing degree and then join the workforce here with me. And then we were married and we started a family. And because she was still a student in school, we were in a single income household. Now, my income was great to support me. It was not enough to support a family of three, particularly with one person in college and one person in daycare. And I know that there are a lot of programs out there designed to help families like mine. And one of the biggest ones is the State of Minnesota grants. Unfortunately, according to the law structure, my wife would have had to have dropped out of school for a year for us to receive the help that we needed for her to continue her education. And when we were told this, we did our research. And we know that a stop-out student's graduation rate is drastically reduced than someone who has one single clear path all the way from start to finish through college. And it's always a different story, but even everyone who wants to go back, most of them don't. So we had a tough choice to make. Do we continue to push through with her education with the resources we had, or do we have her be a stop-out student and hope she goes back? We decided to just kind of push through the process and try to make it work. And for the first quarter, or for the first semester she was in school, we did so and we made it through just fine. but there was a 6-week period from the end of December to the beginning of to the end of January. We didn't have the funds to pay for rent and daycare and tuition. So we had to start making choices. And we were a couple of days away from deciding she needed to drop out of school and stay home with our daughter because we didn't have the funds. Luckily, I have the family and friend resources where we were able to gather the necessary funds to get us through that 6-week period. But this is a barrier most families aren't able to overcome. Most people in my situation don't have those same resources. And if we'd had the child care grant, that would have gotten us through that time period and allowed us to have a comfortable living situation during the process. And I know, and that's the reason that I wrote the senator. I know it's not something that will help me, because my family made it. We made it through. We got through it. But I want to try to remove a barrier from that disables people the opportunity to continue their education.
Thank you, Mr. Hallworth. Questions from the committee? I have one. In looking at the bill, did your family qualify under Section 1, Subdivision 2, Items 2, 3, and 4?
Yes, we did.
You did. All right. Thank you. Again, any questions, comments from the committee members? Anyone here that would like to provide testimony, either in favor or opposed? Okay. Hearing none, we need...
I'll move.
Thank you. Senator Franzen moves. Senate file... 375 will be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. So thank you, Senator Hall.
Thank you.
And I should note that Senator Bonoff, unfortunately, is presenting a bill in another committee, so she was unable to be here, but she wanted to make sure I let you know that. And she was looking forward to hearing the bill. Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair, members.
We also have Senate file 856. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'd like to introduce and move Senate File 856. And I'd also like to thank the co-sponsors on this bill, Chair Claussen.
Thank you.
Senator Wieger, Senator Pratt, and Senator Torres Ray. This bill is one of those things where you think, really, do we really need legislation for this? It does. It's one of those things that you would think we really don't need to have this legislated. But evidently, there are some issues, and this bill seeks to address those issues regarding students being able to transfer successfully all the credits they have taken under concurrent enrollment, PSEO, to an institution and get full credit for those post-secondary courses that they have taken as they were when they were in high school. And with that, Mr. Chair, before I think I might have stepped out of line here and should have done the author's amendment before I actually moved the bill, I do have an author's amendment if I could do that at this time. It's the first stop.
Yes, please do so.
All right.
And
it's an oral amendment.
It's an oral amendment. Oh, thank you.
Yes, I saw that physical look at the head of the table there. It's such a simple amendment. I thought that we could handle it orally and would save the revisers there. So, members, on page 3, lines 3.1, 2, and 3 are deleted. And it's not... that I don't think it's important. And I will tell you what this is. These three lines encourage Minscu to develop a common naming and numbering convention for courses so that it's easier for students to transfer between Minscu institutions and know what credits transfer for what comparable class, and also for the attendees of this bill, which is the secondary students who have taken post-secondary credits. The reason, members, that I'm deleting even it's just this encouraging language, it was not mandatory, but since I had submitted this bill, I did learn that Minscu is doing something that I think can actually be even better, which is using digital technology to more accurately define courses, what their course credits are, and what substantially equal courses are at different institutions. They're doing that with an online database called DARS. I was unaware of that before, which shows course equivalencies.
Could you spell that, Matt?
DARS,
I'm sorry.
Yes, D-A-R-S. I'm sure it stands for something, which we may find out at a later date. And also then there's a companion website called Transferology, which allows students to plug in the course that they have taken at one institution and see what names or credits are at other institutions. We do have someone here from Minscu to further describe that if necessary. But it's because of that digital technology doing what I had suggested in 3.1, 2, and 3 that I have... my author's amendment is to strike those three lines. So it's not to say that it's not important. We want to make sure that digital technology works. But at this point, I didn't feel it was necessary to actually encourage them to do something in a way that they might have a better way of doing. So that would be my author's amendment, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Very good.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It seems pretty complex. I'm wondering if Senator Nelson can provide that in writing.
Yes,
Mr. I'm just kidding. Just wanted to lighten up the crowd a little bit.
Thank you, $100.
Before we move on the your oral amendment, it's interesting to note that a few years ago, the Minnesota Department of Education had all high schools develop a common course system. So it's interesting that the higher ed at Minscu is now doing that as well. That's good to see. Good to hear. Well, we do have an amendment that Senator Nelson has moved, an oral amendment to strike on page 3, lines 3.1 through 3.3 under section 2, subdivision 3. All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Amendment passes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee, for getting the bill in the shape that I would like. And to further describe why I think this bill is important and why we actually need legislation for this, I have a testifier that I'd like to bring forward, Sarah Radosovic. She's the policy research analyst at the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce.
Welcome, Ms. Radosovic. It's good to see you here twice in one day. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's very generous of you. Mr. Chair and members, my name is Sarah Radosovic, and I represent the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce and our 2,300-member businesses across the state. Overall, our focus when we work on education and workforce issues is to help students move through school and post-secondary if they choose and into career so that we have a strong workforce in the state of Minnesota. One of our top education priorities this year is the expansion of dual credit opportunities. These help students get a jump start on earning college credit while they're in high school. It gives them a chance to earn credit without accumulating debt. And most exciting is that studies are showing that these opportunities are helpful not only for our high-flying students, but for children who are high school students who are low income or minorities or folks who may not have envisioned themselves as being college material. Exposure to these courses help them understand that they can do the work and succeed. Now, needless to say, the cost and efficiency benefits that we talk to students about can't accrue if students face significant barriers in transferring credits across institutions. So in our mind, this bill is, it's part of helping a larger sort of pipeline system move efficiently, and it helps address this limitation. In doing so, what this bill really does is it helps fulfill the promise that we make to students when we talk about dual credit and the benefits that it provides. So thank you very much to Senator Nelson for bringing this bill and giving us the opportunity to speak on its behalf.
Thank you, Ms. Radosovich.
Mr. Chair, if I could bring my second testifier, have them both stay here and then take questions at the end. If that's
very good, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Carrie Molesky, Vice President of Minnesota State Colleges Student Association.
Welcome, Ms. Molesky. Please state your name and position for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Carrie Molesky. I'm the Vice President of the Minnesota State College Student Association. MSCSA is the association that represents the nearly 200,000 public, community, and technical college students across Minnesota. In recent years, students have consistently placed three issues on the top of our association's policy agenda: college affordability, credit transfer, and access to an information about PSEO. The bill before you addresses all of those issues in some manner, and we're thankful to Senator Nelson for bringing this legislation forward. Our association does not have an official stance on this bill, but we did want to offer our thanks to the committee for having a discussion around the importance of PSEO and credit transfer. This is an issue we as an association have heard a lot about from our students. When a student takes a course, whether PSEO or not, they expect it will be meaningful for them in pursuit of a college degree. The need for this type of certainty in a student's academic pursuit has become even more critical now that students at our public two-year institutions are paying the third highest tuition and fees in the country when compared to like institutions. Simply, when students lose credits in transfer, it increases their costs significantly and it delays the process towards a degree. I can relate to this personally because when I was a PSEO student my senior year in high school and I was looking where my credits would transfer for college, not many colleges would take it, and the ones that did were too far away from home for me. With an increased need for well-trained workers in our state, it's more crucial than ever for our state to have an accessible higher education system, especially at the community and technical college level. This legislation attempts to address the issue of students losing credits when they complete PSEO classes. For these students, the opportunity to receive college credit at no cost to them is a significant draw to PSEO. If students lose credits due to transfer issues, they will be forced to retake the courses, and the savings they would have realized would be negated. MSCSA continues to believe that seamless credit transfer will help students move through to a degree without unnecessary obstacles that can sometimes discourage the students from continuing their education or slow their process and increase costs and lead to debt levels that are already often burdensome for years after graduation. Senate File 856 brings forward an important discussion, and we're thankful to be part of this hearing. Mr. Chair, members, thank you again for the opportunity to speak with you today, and I would stand for any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Molesky. Questions from the committee? Yes, Senator Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Carlson. I'm sorry, Senator Nelson. Question for you with regards to Minscu. Do they have a position on this bill, or have you collaborated with them and to see if there's any challenges or anything that they would opine on this bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Nelson.
Mr. Chair, Senator Franzen, thank you for that question. And yes, we have had discussions about this bill. And it was at their suggestion that I delete that permissive language. But I will say that even though the language was permissive regarding unified course numbers and names, I think I did get a sense that they are seeking to solve that in a way different than what I had thought, using more of a technology approach, which would actually lead to more specific course names that were of equivalency. Mm-hmm. And so I felt that I felt comfortable deleting that language, but I think it's something that you'll notice the second part of my bill. I'll walk you through the two pieces of the bill. I think the report that I'm asking for will lead us to know if will help us know if actually this transferology and this DARS system is actually serving its purpose.
Other questions from the committee? I have one, Ms. Maleski. I'm just curious, the concurrent enrollment course that you took, was it through a Minsky institution, and then were you trying to transfer the credits to another Minsky institution?
Yes, sir. It was. I attended an Oak Ramsey Community College, and then I was looking to further my education
at
another Minsky school.
And then you were trying to transfer that to another Minsky institution?
Yes.
Within Minnesota, obviously. Okay. Was that a four-year that you were transferring to or another two-year?
Another four-year.
Another four-year. Okay, thank you. Please, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this, what you notice today is there's a broader discussion, really, about transferability of credits between Minsky institutions. This bill, I think that's a worthy discussion to have, and I know we'll have it in this committee. This bill is a little bit more sculpted and specifically deals with the dual credit option, which are our secondary students who take those dual credits and then find when they go to a post-secondary institution they're not given full credit. So it's a little smaller version of a much broader discussion that I think we are going to have. And this bill specifically then requires that Minsky institutions give full credit to a secondary pupil who completes four post-secondary credit, a post-secondary course or program that is part or all of a goal area or transfer curriculum at a Minsky institution when that pupil enrolls in the Minsky institution after leaving the secondary school. So it's very narrowly sculpted, and again, it's one of those things I was surprised that we needed legislation for, but I believe we do. And then the second piece of the bill is Section 3, and that's that report that I referred to, the transfer curriculum report. And that is asking the Minsky Institution to prepare and submit to leads on the education committees to describe the implementation of the transfer curriculum policy. And so I think that kind of is going to get to what we want to know, whether the new digital versions, the DARS, and the transferology are actually working. So that's the bill. It's very simple. And I would renew my motion for the bill to pass if there are no further questions.
Any other questions? This morning in E12, I had a concurrent enrollment bill as well. And so some of this actually is a lapse over a proposal that I have that the Minsky and University of Minnesota, that if they're going to be offering concurrent enrollment, they have to do an annual and a five-year review of the students about one of the issues is transferability of those credits. And so it's good to see that we're both attacking the same issue. And Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Nelson did mention this, and I think we are going to continue the transfer conversations a little bit more, but I do want to show my appreciation to the faculty at the two-year institutions and the four-year institutions, as well as the two student groups and Minsky. They are working to address the transfer issue, and I believe we still need to do a little bit of work on that, and we may have a piece of legislation in front of this committee yet this session, but I do want to show my appreciation to all those groups for working on this very important issue for our students.
And Senator Miller, if I remember correctly, you had a similar bill, but it was transferring between the Minsky institutions, not necessarily concurrent enrollment student last year. So this is a topic we've taken up here for the last 2 years, and so it's good to see we're looking at it again. So go ahead, Senator Nelson.
Mr. Chair and Senator Miller and committee, we know how important this is for all of our students. And that's one of the common themes that we have here in this committee room is how do we control the costs for higher education and how do we expand access? And this really deals with controlling those costs because when we have secondary students who take a post-secondary credit and successfully complete it, and then they go to transfer that, and it doesn't transfer in full, it's not only increasing the cost for the student in terms of dollars and their family, it's also increasing the time that it will take the student to graduate and be in the workforce, and it also is wasting taxpayer dollars who actually are helping with, in some cases, trying to hold down our costs in as we fund our MNSCU and University of Minnesota. And so it's essential, I think, that we make the best use of those dollars and the best use of students' time. And I think it's really our social, really, and moral issue that those of us who are policymakers do everything we can to hold down those costs and increase access. And I know there'll be many other bills before this committee that does that. And I appreciate your work on this, Senator Claussen, Chair Claussen. And in fact, I think co-sponsoring one of your concurrent enrollment bills, which actually really deals with that in a very significant way. So we look forward to hearing that too. But again, I'd like to renew my motion, Senate File 856, as amended, be referred to pass. And can it go right to the floor? Or can we dual track it for possible omnibus and right to the floor?
I've been given advice that yes, we can, but I think too we will we'll move Senate 856 to lay it over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill, so we could double track that, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That would be my motion then to dual track.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. Senate File 856 will be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill and double-tracked to the floor.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Do not see that we have any additional business here today. Looking ahead, on Tuesday, March 10th, we have college and teacher preparation programs, College Possible, the Bush Foundation, Senate File 759. We have teacher loans, Senate File 1084, agricultural teacher loans, Senate Files 429 and Senate File 430 will be addressed. And Thursday of next week, University of Minnesota Medical School reports. With that, any other business? Seeing none, the committee is adjourned.